The following message was recorded at the No Regrets Men's Conference. More information about the conference is available at noregretsconference.org. Feel free to make copies of this message for others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission.
What are you really willing to do? Isn't that a great start with Crawford Loretz this morning? We can be thinking about that today, all day. Good morning. Have any of you ever had a kid, daughter, or a son say to you, do it again? You know, you had did something fun, or you did something they liked, and they said, do it again. Well, there was a man that came across his four-year-old daughter just crying, just couldn't be controlled. She was screaming and couldn't even understand why, what was bothering her. And he finally got her to say she had swallowed a penny. So he's trying to settle her down. Nothing he'd say would calm her down. Nothing would, you know, he tried to console her and maybe was thinking about running her to the hospital or something. Finally, he took a penny out of his pocket and palmed it in his hand without her seeing it. And he reached up to her ear and pretended he took the penny out of her ear. Well, she settled down right away. She was elated. She was delighted. And she saw the penny, she grabbed it and put it in her mouth and swallowed it and said, do it again, Daddy. Well, you just never know as a dad how a girl or your wife or your daughter, how they're going to react or respond or what they're going to do when, I mean, you think they're going to, who would think she'd swallow the penny again? But so really, how do we as dads love your daughter the way that she needs to be loved? And that's really the question. How do you love your daughter? And the thing is, I'm here having experience as a father and a grandfather. I don't have the answer. I'm going to throw out ideas, and I have some ideas of answers, but, you know, every daughter, every girl is different. Every woman's different, right? But it's really simple in a way. Spend lots of time with her. Be available. Pray for her a lot and pour your life into her. And that's the first part of the answer. And that's really all you need to know. End of seminar, go on to the next one, you know. But it's simple, but it's not easy. In fact, it's really hard. In fact, I think we should pray about it right now. I'm serious. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for being here with us today, as you always are. Thank you for leading us today here to this place. And I thank you for these men for being here. And I just, as I humbly come before you and present what's on my heart, my passion, I just pray that you give me the words to say while I have experience as being a dad, I don't have a lot of experience at speaking. And Lord, I just want to put it in your hands. And I just pray that these men would hear something that would be significant for them, something that they could apply to their lives, something that they could put into use and that they decide to do, and a way to connect better with their daughter, or a way to help their relationship grow better, and just help them to be better dads. And I pray that they get something out of it, and I know that they're here to grow, and I know they're here to learn, and many of them are really good dads already, and they probably could teach me some things. And Father, we just want to pray for this day, this time, and we commit it to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. So I thought maybe I'd put my email address up here. I just took this email address out just for this conference. I'm not using it for anything else, but it's my first three initials, John Francis Matthews, my first initials, JFM. 0330@gmail.com. If you don't get a handout, you want it later, if you have a question or if you have a comment or some suggestion, be happy to hear from you and respond back to you. So I thought it might be a nice way to stay in touch if people want to talk about being dads further. When I started doing this, I said, this is a 40-hour seminar, you know, and I'm trying to cram it down to 50 minutes and we're hoping to have a time of a little sharing and questions and answers as well. So I'm going to try to cover some of the main points and some of the things that have occurred in my life and some of the things I've learned and some of the things I have read. I got all these books out, you know, all these good books, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, Dads and Daughters, All Pro Dad has a ton of good stuff, A Divorced Dad and How to Be a Great Divorced Dad, things like that. I learned all these things that I did wrong while I was fathering, so I didn't read all of the books, but I read parts of them. And so I just wanted to mention that.
If I could just make one. So yeah. I'm going to go around and collect. If you could pass the cards to the outside. Also, has anybody seen a cell phone around?
Okay.
One with a blue case on it. Happens to be my cell phone. Nobody's seen a cell phone.
All right.
Okay. I'll go around to the outside.
Let me ask you some questions first, and then I'm going to share a little bit about myself. So if I can find out. Who has a daughter five or under? Who's here that has a daughter that's under 5 years old? How about 6 to 11 years old? So that's, wow, that's at least half, maybe more. How about 12 to 18? Another at least 30, 40%, I would say. And then adult daughters, has adult daughters? Anybody have granddaughters? Does anybody have a stepdaughter or adopted daughter? Okay, good. That's about 5 or 10. And as far as numbers, I'm just wondering, if you have at least one daughter, raise your hand. And then keep your hand up if you have two or more. That's maybe still more than half. Three or more? Oh, we still have about 10. How about four? Four or more? How many?
Four.
Okay. Well, you can come up and help me. I was married at age 21. My wife was barely 18. Her name was Shannon. We had our first daughter at 4 months after we were married. So it tells you right away that I messed up on some things. I didn't get started the right way. Beautiful girl, Heather. Let's see if I don't need to. That's that one there. It's Heather. She was born. Beautiful little girl. And 11 and a half months later, we had Shelly. One of these is right next to her there. Anyway, there we were. Two daughters, under a year old, and really, honestly, knew nothing about parenting. And we were both in college, and I was really naive. And but because of the schedule, and we worked our schedules around each other, I was forced to be a dad right away. And maybe I learned a few things from my mom, but I didn't know anybody else that had kids. And I decided that besides, they weren't being nursed, so I had to bottle feed them. I learned to mix the formula and all that, and I changed diapers and bathed them, and everything a child needs, I pretty much was doing it as a dad and splitting it up. And when I had them, I wasn't in class. My wife was in class. I was taking care of them. And I decided that as I looked at our apartment, and it was it had no front yard, had no backyard. We were on a busy intersection of two busy streets, and it was a sidewalk. I thought I couldn't even let them outside without me with them. And we lived there the first 3 years. So I decided to take them to a park on a regular basis. And the routine was, it was a couple blocks away, but go there and they'd climb the ladder, go down the slide, play in the monkey bars, go on the swings and end up in the sandbox, and they'd play in the sandbox for an hour. But anyway, the routine was there to create a close bond right from the beginning. And I'd say if you have daughters under five, or one-year-old baby, whatever, get started right away. We lived about 5 or 6 blocks from UWM. So in the winter, when it was cold and couldn't go to the park so much, wasn't as attractive, I would take them there to swim. And of course, that included getting all the clothes on, go out in the middle of the winter, walk there, you know, get them there somehow, and take all their clothes off, get the bathing suits on, take them in the swimming pool. Well, one of my classes as a Phi Ed major was teaching babies to swim. So they were my experiment. You know, I started 4 months old, put them in the water, and when I had two of them, you know, one would be on the gutter and the other one would be in my hands, and sometimes they slip off and go under and put them back up and switch them back, and you know, they'd be bobbing up and down, and I'd have one and the other one would be bobbing up, and I mean, part of it was teaching them to take a breath when they're up and hold their breath when they go under, you know. So I was really, but the funny thing is, and I really didn't understand why at the time, it always seemed to attract a crowd. People that come in through the pool area, they start watching this, and then be a crowd watching me. Anyway, what it really did for me is it gave me, gave them, my daughters, a chance to have physical contact, whether you call it affection. It gave me a chance to be with them and play with them, as well as just be a part of their lives, you know, a connection with them. So it really, even though I messed up and, you know, who'd have thought we'd had another baby 11 and a half months later? That was not planned, you know. But in spite of my mistakes, it seemed like I was forced to do some of the things that were right and good. So with that, I'm just going to mention that really three major points: loving Christ or being rooted in Christ. That's the theme, take root. So take root in Christ. And I think we can't really talk about being a dad without talking about that at least briefly. And loving your wife, rooting for her. And the third major area is obviously loving your daughter the way she needs to be loved. So when you're talking about being rooted in Christ, I look at 1 John 4:7. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." Verse 11 says, "Since God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." So I'm thinking we're receiving God's love, and we're called to not only get rooted in Christ, get rooted in God through Christ, but also to pass on that love. Brody Swanson, about 3 weeks ago, gave a sermon here at Elmbrook called Rooted in Love, and he talked about paying it forward. We're getting this love from God. We need to pay it forward. Now, we can talk about loving our enemies and loving others, but I'm thinking if you love your closest neighbor, that's your wife. In my mind, you're loving your neighbor is your wife first and your family next. So we want to pay it forward to our family, pay that love that God gives us, but being established in God first. And really, you are the model to your daughter of what a heavenly father is like. And you're the primary male in her life, really. The second thing, then, is loving your wife. And I call it rooting for her. And that's probably taking the word root in a different context. But I thought it would be applicable, rooting for your wife. And again, your daughter is watching how you model being a husband. And you become the standard for which she looks for in a future husband. You become that standard. So, you know, you want to show respect for her, your wife, your daughter, your mom, sisters, any woman in your life, anybody you work with. And you want to view women not as objects, but as people that are valuable children of God. And this will build her self-esteem. This will build it up. And that's so important, obviously, to give her confidence. Show her how a gentleman is to treat a lady. And when we talk about love, because you know, you came here to hear about raising daughters, and I'm really calling it how to really love your daughter. But so, how do we look at love? And you can look at the 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter in the Bible, and see what that says about love. And it talks about love being patient and kind and not self-serving and not proud, not easily angered. I think that's a big one for fathers. Don't be easily angered with your daughter or your wife. But it always hopes, and it's let's just say that 1 Corinthians 13, it's hard to do. It's hard to do. So I like to think in terms of having a helper. A helper in doing that is the Holy Spirit. And if you have Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. And I feel like we need to at least cover this before we talk about being a father, about talking about our daughters. But we have help in doing it if we have the Holy Spirit. And you look at Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. What are the fruit of the Spirit? And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc., and gentleness and self-control. But I think about applying those to your daughter, love, joy, patience, having kindness to her, showing gentleness. That's a big one, really. I mean, think about boys. You know, they probably don't need the gentleness. The girls, and I have both, but I hate to generalize, girls do this, boys do that, but girls are different. And so I'll try to concentrate a little bit on what a girl needs. So gentleness would be one of them. And self-control, if you have self-control. But again, the Holy Spirit working in you is what's going to help you. And it's going to be, I mean, this is a hard job anyway, right? It's a hard job with or without Christ, but with Christ and with the Holy Spirit working, it's going to be easier. And I think, to me, it starts with prayer, praying for her and praying with her. You want to, I'd just like to read a quote from Steve Farrar in a book he wrote called Standing Tall. Steve was a speaker here, I think, about a year ago or 2 years ago, one of the main speakers. But he talks about prayer. A godly father is the unseen spiritual submarine who lurks below the surface of every activity of his daughter's life. A man who has put on the full armor of God and with that armor goes to war on his knees for his daughter. He is a force to be reckoned with. We cannot be with our children 24 hours a day, but through our prayers we have the ability to affect situations that when we are not physically present, you may be undetected, but does not mean that you are ineffective. You're undetected, but you're not ineffective. So the prayer of a righteous man is effective and powerful. And so I think in terms of praying for our daughters, and that's probably one of the best things we can do to love our daughters, and really living out the commands of the Bible ourselves and being the role model. And Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9 talks about impressing them on your daughter, your children, and living them out yourself, but also putting them on your door frames and talk about them when you're along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. So, I mean, all of these things are a way to start spiritually training or teaching your daughter. And I think, again, Crawford stole some of my material. They're gonna catch more than what you say. So the modeling, to me, is more important than what you even say to her. But Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way she should go. I'm going to say she. It says he in the Bible. The way she should go, and when she's old, she will not depart from it. This means, I think the key word in that part of the Bible, verse, is the way she should go, because the way means her bent or her personality or her traits, her character. And how are you going to know how to raise your daughter without knowing her? I mean, you just don't do the same thing with everyone. I don't think you can't do the same thing with every person, every child, every daughter. And so to find out her bent, her traits, her personality, you got to spend time with her. And to me, the one big thing is availability, being available to her and spending time. And I mean, you could say that love is spelled T-I-M-E, time with your daughter. There was one story I read about a woman that wrote into the Moody Monthly magazine. I didn't get her name, but she was a very successful young woman. She said one of the... 1 year at Christmas time, she got a gift from her dad, a small box, had a note in it. And in the on the note, he said, I give you 365 hours for the coming year. And you can have 1 hour every day, and you can have you can do whatever you want to do. You can go wherever you want to go. You want to play whatever you want to play. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. That hour is yours. And she wrote into the magazine that that time, that her dad not only kept his promise of that note, but he renewed it every year. And she said that that was the greatest gift that she ever received in her whole life. She said, I am what I am today because of that time my dad gave me. What a challenge. Isn't that a challenge? Wow. I mean, I think I'd be good to do an hour a week or an hour a month maybe. But the other thing is your wife is going to be very jealous if you're spending an hour every day with her and not with her. So I don't know. You're going to have to decide for yourself how you can split that up. But I think, you know, an hour with your wife, an hour with your daughter, and you've got two, an hour with each, you know. I don't know. It's a challenge, and I'm not saying you should do that, but it's maybe something to start thinking about how you can be available and spend time. I guess I could say that I've been very fortunate. I was a Phi Ed teacher, and I went into real estate, and I always seemed to have some flexibility in my time, and I think it would be very hard for me to work a 12-hour day, let's say, and 5 or 6 days a week. And to me, if you're in a job like that, I can't judge you, I can't say anything, but boy, I would just try to find a way to get more time with family if you're not. I wanted to tell you, I guess I didn't complete my story, but after my first couple of years with my daughters, I started going to church. I came to Christ early on when they were about 2 years, 1 and 2 years old. And I took them. My wife didn't go with me. And I would be at church with them a lot. That was one thing. Getting involved in helping them get involved in youth groups. That's, I'll talk about that a little bit. But after about 10 years or so, 12 years, whatever, I found myself divorced. And you could say I messed up royally. Because I think one of the best things you can do for your daughter is to stay married to your wife. And I blew it. And I won't get into all the details. It's another seminar. But it was hard. And I found myself as a single parent. And I really had my daughters most of the time. And I learned to be a single parent. I didn't ask, are there any single parent dads here? Okay, good. But I, you know, here I am standing in front of you telling you when I really blew it. And I guess that's what I'm going to say to you too, is that if you've blown it, it could be getting angry at your daughter. It could be messing up and doing something wrong, you know, with your, I mean, you've had times, I know, with your wives, you've argued, you've had occasions, but God forgives and gives you a second chance. And I am so thankful. He gave me a second chance. I married Margie about 3 years later, and my second wife, and we've been married 31 years. And God did give me a second chance. And I really had to go through the process of feeling like I was, it was acceptable for me to remarry. But I came to the point where the first marriage was definitely over and there was no way of getting back together. So that's all I would really say about that, except that I kept learning how to be a dad and how to love my daughters through that. And when I married Margie, she had a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, a son, 6, and a daughter, 3. So I had Sarah became my third daughter. And some of you that have, you mentioned you had 2 or 3 daughters. And some of you, a couple, at least 5 or 10, I think, had adopted a daughter or are a step-parent. And I became a stepdad, and I had a stepdaughter. And the nice thing is, after a while, the step disappears. I became daddy. She became my daughter. I didn't adopt the two of them, but in my mind, I adopted them. I raised them as my own, spent time with them like my own. And Sarah's just one of my best friends today. She's 34 now. And within 4 years after Margie and I got married, we had Katie's the baby. Nick's a little bit older, so we had two more kids. And Katie was born, she's now 27, and the oldest is 46, so that's the range. I've got four daughters between, I actually had 27 years of teenagers in the home. You know, from time the first one turned 13 to the time the last one turned 20. And now I have 11 grandchildren and one more on the way, which I can't tell you about. It's too early. Anyway, and three of them are our daughters or our granddaughters. And so I guess you could say I feel very blessed. And I say that to you to give you hope, because I know you have messed up like I did, and we will continue to. And I'm still learning. But that's my story, and that's I guess I could probably tell you a lot more. But when girls are little, I'll just kind of run through some of the things I thought of that you could do. And certainly as babies, to give them affection, talk to them, feed them, change them. Do what you can, even if they're being, you know, the mom does most of the care work, care for the baby. You can do a lot, too. And I think there's just nothing better than rocking a baby to sleep in your arms. And I still do that with the grandchildren. Just the greatest feeling to have that baby fall asleep and be totally trusting you, you know, with her life, so to speak. But you can do a lot of things. One thing I just said in my notes is have a tea party. You know, learn from your daughter. Do things like have a tea party. It gives you perspective on life, and like your work isn't that important when you have a tea party with a little girl. It just seems like, you know, you kind of get a little better perspective on life. One little girl was, there's a picture here. Get the picture. She was with her mom. They both had dresses on, dressed up really nice. They had their aprons on, really pretty aprons, frilly and lacy and flowery. And they had their hair done up, and the little girl had her pigtails. They were cleaning the house, and they were baking and cooking. They were doing things around the house. And the little girl said to her mom, she's like 5 years old or 6 years old, she said to her mommy, "How does it feel, mommy, to have the best daughter in the world?" And her mom thought for a second. She said, "Honey, I really don't know. You'll have to ask your grandma." So, you know, I hesitate in saying give them lots of praise and lots of compliments. They might get a big head. But I, honestly, I don't know if you can give them too much praise. I really think probably you give as much as they want. I think as little kids, now again, I was a Phi Ed major and Phi Ed teacher, so I learned to do balancing tricks with them, all kinds of things, and it gave me a chance to continue giving them physical contact. And I think throughout their lives, appropriate physical contact is one of the best things you can do, too. Sometimes it's just a pat on the head, or, you know, little girls sit on your lap, obviously, you know, holding their hand, or go for a walk and holding hands. I have a list that I'm going to hand out at the end, things you can do with your daughter to spend time with her. As far as just things to do and stay in contact with her, I don't know. I mean, I have kids that I have sons and daughters with their husband. They wrestle with their kids. You know, I see them wrestling. I did some wrestling. In fact, now a lot of times I just saw three of them earlier this week, and they all wanted to wrestle. And then the girls want to wrestle too. You know, so it's like, you know, I don't know what age you stop that, but I would say, and I'll jump ahead a little bit, the preschool years, I think, can be the hardest, preteen years can be some of the hardest, because, and that may be why a lot of you guys are here, I don't know, but 10, 11, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, you know, I would say in all four cases with my daughters, they didn't want as much, I'm a hugger, They didn't want to hug as much. They didn't want as much affection. But everyone will say now to Glad that I kept hugging him through that time. And in fact, one of my son-in-laws keeps thanking me. Thank you for hugging my daughter, my wife so much when she was little. You know. So I think, again, to kind of keep looking for ways for appropriate physical contact. As far as time, once your daughter gets into school, I think it's great for dads to be there at the parent-teacher conference, you know, to get involved with doing homework with her, whatever it is, you can coach a team. I was actually a brownie leader 1 year. They needed one, and no women were there, and I said, okay, I'll do it. So, just ways to teach Sunday school or whatever, you know. And I might say, I look at you all, and I think probably most of you are really pretty good dads, and you're seeking to set the standard high. And you might also think in terms of how you can help some of the other families where a daughter or girl has no dad. And we can talk about all kinds of statistics on what happens with girls that have an absent dad or a workaholic or alcoholic or whatever dad. But they're more likely to have bad grades, more likely to be promiscuous, more likely to get in trouble other ways. I want to really concentrate on the positive part, but there's that gap in my mind. There's a gap of what I see. I'm very encouraged with so many of the men I see today, the young men with their kids and seeing them coaching, seeing them doing things, seeing them at the parks. But there's also that whole segment that is fatherless. It's difficult to reach out one-to-one with a girl, but you can bring your daughter's friend. If she doesn't have a father, bring them along on a family trip. As I mentioned, coaching or teaching, you can reach out. My thinking is we should be reaching out to them, the fatherless, more if we can. If we find a way to do it, it might be in groups as the best way. So in the preteen years, I would say one of the biggest things is prepare her for what's next. In fact, all of her life, prepare her for what's coming. But in the preteen years especially, her body's changing, she's changing, boys are changing. Prepare her for what's ahead. And a lot of that, I know, the mother is going to say, I'll do that, But I think there's a lot of places for the dad to be involved with that too, and talking about, what the boys are thinking, what I thought of when I was a boy that age, and what I thought of girls and how I looked at them and so on. And a lot of that's, they don't know how they punch them or something, but to talk to her about, what boys are like, what's happening with them at that time, and really talk about with her about purity is a good chance. I think it's a lifelong thing too. You can start pretty early with that, but talk about the purity. And I think one of the questions that's come up a lot, and I bet you have a few, is the whole purity issues. And I think to me it's something you start talking about early, and the benefits of staying pure, and that's not just what the Bible says, the spiritual side, but the physical side, and obviously not getting pregnant, and the diseases you can pick up and that sort of thing, but also the emotional side, and what as a dad or as a girl emotionally. And obviously there's young women, women of all age really have more to be worried about when they go outside than men do. We don't worry about walking down a dark street at night, and if you're on a bike path or a rollerblading or biking or walking or whatever, and you're a woman alone, to me, you got to be concerned. As a dad, we've got to be helping our daughters work through that and how they're going to do that, and hopefully not even go alone. But anyway, so those are some of the things as far as preparing her for what's ahead. I do want to mention, too, that to try to find ways to serve together. And as you raise, you can do sports, you can do music, you can do lots of other things with them. But to find ways to serve together, and to me, Christian camps were good things to get them to, and youth group, and finding ways as a family, as a father and daughter, or as a whole family, to find places to serve or give or help. So just throw that out too. This, as they get into the teen years, you want to be more, even more intentional. It just seems to me that they really want to draw away. I have a 16-year-old granddaughter now, so I'm kind of like seeing that side again, you know. It's hard to draw her out, but, you know, find out what her best friend's name is, or find out what kind of music she likes, if you don't already know, or what she likes in school, what's her favorite class, or, you know, ask her questions that draw her out. And I have another handout, two handouts at the end. One is, this one is having to do with questions you can ask your daughter that help draw her out. Conversation starters, you know, and you might grab one of these questions that you like and save it for the right moment and go a little deeper. Let me see one of those. Yeah, thanks. So we used to do this a lot where we did a high or a low. What's your high and low of the day? We did that pretty often, and that was a good one. But what's the most difficult thing about school? What are you looking forward to with school? Or what are you thankful for? What are you most afraid of? You know, those kinds of questions. So I just throw that out as, you know, just kind of give you ideas. I want to be a resource today, as I said, just kind of point you. There's all kinds of things like this you can look up on, you know, Google it or whatever. But as we get into the teen years as well, you know, this, I would say start dating your daughter from early, from little on even. Take her out, pick her up from school, take her out to breakfast beforehand, or take her out for lunch. And it's always kind of cool. I thought when I pick up my daughter for lunch and all the other kids would be staying there and seeing her go, and I thought, are they jealous or is my daughter embarrassed? I don't know. But I just thought it was neat that they could see that she was going out with her dad for lunch. And it was a great time to be together and spend time together. Make your home a place that you can have, make it inviting for her to invite her friends over. Maybe they want to watch a movie or have an impromptu dance or something, just play games. And it's also a great time to, sometimes you get a chance to talk to some of the other girls and find out what their family's like, or sometimes you even find out more about your own daughter that you didn't know from her friends, you know, which is good. I used to drive a lot. I mean, if there was an opportunity or they needed somebody to drive to an event, I'll drive, you know. And to me, that was a great chance to learn. And I would turn the radio off, and I wouldn't say a word. I'd just listen. And you'd hear the girls talk, and they talk, and just find out about their lives from what they're talking about or what they're laughing about or whatever. And that was, to me, that's a lifelong thing, really, the driving part of it, whether it be to an event or to school or before or after school it was very touching for me to drive my youngest daughter to church on her wedding day. And it was just her and I in the car, and we just got to share. And this was very touching and emotional to have this last few moments of her as a single woman. And you give them away thinking, you know, you never, you know, that's it. That's the end of that part of her life. But when kids come along and grandkids, and it's like, okay, don't lose them after all. I had four times that I walked a daughter down the aisle to give her away. And all four times, I felt like I was giving away $1 million Stradivarius to a gorilla, you know. And, you know, so I was reluctant, you know, but they weren't lost, and they're still around. In fact, they all live in the area. All the girls live in this area, and I see all the grandkids a lot, so it's just it's certainly a blessing. Well, let's do that now, why don't we, with the break.
Sure, sure.
And just see if we can, again, I'm not the answer person, so I just want to kind of get an idea of what kinds of thoughts you're having, and maybe we can come up with some answers and ideas.
There are essentially, there's four themes, John, and I'm loud. I'll try to stand by you.
All right.
There's essentially four themes. You've touched on the four, but I think it's important. You've certainly opened your heart, shared your experience. Mm-hmm. We're guys. We don't like to share our hearts and our experiences, whether it's with friends or with strangers. But I think it's really appreciative. I'm speaking for you now. Mm-hmm. You're very appreciative of these guys, some of these guys, opening their hearts. And what's on their hearts today really boils down to what I see as four themes here. And I'll just read right from the cards. Keeping them faithful. My daughter, who's 8, seems to be pulling away from Jesus a bit, mm-hmm. unwilling to pray. Doesn't want us to pray for her. Less interest in Bible studies. How do we keep her connected without pushing her further away? Get girls to go to church. So faith being one. Perhaps another topic to really emphasize here. My daughter is strong-willed. What suggestions do you have to communicate with her and love her without discouraging her? As a parent, staying calm and patient and imparting discipline. So faith, connection. Kind of a third topic is, excuse me, how as a father do you teach discretion starting at a young age? Social media, how to guide daughters on putting appropriate comments and pictures on the web for what the world will see without forcing them to do, getting them to do their own. What age do we... do you begin discussing with your daughter about what's on a boy's mind? How do I communicate to my daughter that she sometimes dresses inappropriately? Being that I'm a stepfather, I don't have much say in it. So this whole notion of the imparting the secular world and social media on your daughter. And fourth, how do we help her with her changing emotions? sensitive chord, huh? Helping to understand how to communicate peer pressure. If everyone is doing it, why can't I? And here's a gentleman who says that he has 2 daughters, but the oldest won't talk to him anymore. Mm. So kind of 4 themes there.
And actually, the last one is the one that hit me the most, as I heard some other variances of that. I think about the prodigal daughter, or the one that's left and has left the faith, or is just distant from you. And I mean, the first thing I would say, don't stop pursuing her. Keep after her, keep going, keep loving her, try to contact her any way you can, you know. Physically, when they go away to college, I think, well, text her, email her, call her on the phone, get on Facebook or Twitter or whatever you have to do to stay in touch with her. But if they're not wanting to have that contact, that's a little harder. But I think the other thing that you want to communicate, and I think about someone said that there's nothing we can do that will make God love us more. There's nothing we can do to make God love us less. So I think of that as being unconditional love, and as dads, that you communicate that I will love you no matter what. In fact, one story that my kids told me about a friend of theirs, a girl that during high school, I won't say her name, but it's a real story. She during high school years, she really went off on the far edge, and she was getting in trouble. She was drinking too much, and she would, I don't know what all. She got into a lot of trouble, and she'd call home. Her dad would come and get her. Didn't say a word. just loved her. And just didn't say a word. She said that was later on. She was in college. She came to Christ. She said because of her dad's love. And she said it was because of the way he acted that he accepted me no matter what. And that's one example. And the hard thing is I know the strong-willed girls, there's different stories. There's no easy answer. But the ideas, to me, are to just keep making sure you're communicating your love and your acceptance and your willingness to take her call at any time. Another thought is being available to talk when they want to talk. I don't know how many times we talked at midnight, you know, a lot. You know, and that's when they would be the most open, midnight to 2 a.m. or whatever it was, you know. And I had to get up at 7 or 6 the next morning. But, you know, to me, you know, I had to spend that time. That's when they wanted to spend it. And so I don't know. I mean, those are some ideas. I don't know that those are going to work for you or what, because every girl is different, right?
Social media.
Yeah, I think... somebody was saying to me, rules are necessary. You got to have rules, but then you also have to be. Crawford this morning said something about grace, abundant grace, giving abundant grace to your daughter. And really, we need it for ourselves because we're always messing up too. But I think, you know, at some point, we quit being a father and we become a friend. And as an adult, girls, you know, they really, I think, really want to talk. No surprise, right? But they want to talk at a deeper level. They want to know the real person, the real dad, the real, and we should be going to them. And again, Crawford mentioned this, but I have it in my notes too, that be quick to apologize when you mess up, and whether it be to your wife or your daughter, be real to her. Be transparent and confess. Ask for forgiveness. We confess to God, and He forgives us. We don't know about another person if he or she will forgive us, but we have to make the effort. Social media. Yeah, well, it's ongoing, and I have three teenage grandchildren, and so we. We're thinking of that all the time too. I'm going through that myself, the second time around here. But to have rules, and certainly not to let them have a device in their room alone. That, and it's just like having the computer. You put it in a place where everybody can see it. You know, in the family room or living room, whatever. And certainly with their devices, I think they need to be able to realize it. I know one parent said they have a rule they can take it from them anytime, any moment. Give it to me, and that's the rule. You got to be able to let me look at it anytime, and who are you talking to? What's going on? You know, and again, it's got to be done with grace, I guess too. You got to have a little breathing room on that. There's one other quote from Meg Meeker that I want to read. It's from the book Strong Fathers and Strong Daughters. It's one of the books I have here. She writes, "When she's in your company, your daughter tries harder to excel. When you teach her, she learns more rapidly. When you guide her, she gains confidence. If you fully understood just how profoundly you can influence your daughter's life, you'd be terrified, overwhelmed, or both. Boyfriends, brothers, and husbands can't even shape her character the way you do. You will influence her entire life because she gives you the authority she gives no other man. So open your eyes wide, see what your daughter faces today, tomorrow, and 10 years from now. It's tough and it's frightening. While you want the world to be cautious and gentle with her, the world is cruel beyond imagination. Even before she is a teen, even though she may not participate in these ugly things, It's all about, all around her, the sexual promiscuity, alcohol abuse, foul language, illegal drugs, and predatory boys and men who want to take something from her. You will make the difference in your daughter's life. You have to, because unfortunately we have the culture that's not healthy for girls and young women, and there is only one thing that stands between it and your daughter, you. Fathers change the course of a daughter's life and can even save them. The clock is ticking. Take the time to spend it with her. Your opportunity to influence her, to shape her, her character, and to help her find herself. It's a matter of time, spending time. To me, availability and time and connecting, that's really what a lot of it's about. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. The way I read that is to make the time important. Number the hours or the days or spend an hour a day with her or whatever it is, but make your time count. Other things, tell her she's beautiful every chance you get. Hug her every chance you get. Give her sincere compliments. Let her know she has a place in your heart that is only reserved for her and that she has your unconditional love. I used to listen to Paul Harvey on the radio when he was alive. For many years I did, actually, and I enjoyed him very much. But every year on Father's Day, he would give a Father's Day message, usually the day before on Saturday, and it was, "What is a father?" And I have a short excerpt or a short segment of that I'd like to read. "A father is a thing that is forced to endure childbirth without an anesthetic. A father never feels worthy of the worship in a child's eyes. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks, and this worries him. So he works too hard to try to smooth the rough places in the road for those of his who will follow him. Fathers are what give daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough, so they can have grandchildren who are smarter and better than anybody's." Paul Harvey, good day. So, you know, keep pursuing. I'd say that it's certainly a joy and a blessing. After my daughters became adults and they got married and started having kids, we'd make a point of going to the hospital, be there. I actually changed my one daughter's diaper before anybody else did. I thought it was a privilege to do that in the hospital. But, you know, be there for them, be a partner, be a friend. She's never too old for a hug. I'm going to finish a little bit early. That's fine. Maybe we have a few more questions. What else does a daughter need from her dad? And in the book, Do You Think I'm Beautiful? By Angela Thomas, she writes, "We need to teach our daughters to know the difference between a man who flatters her and a man who compliments her, a man who spends money on her, and a man who invests in her, a man who views her as property, and a man who views her properly, and a man who lusts after her, and a man who loves her." We need to teach our daughters the difference between these. Don't teach her to be a lady, but teach her how a lady is to be treated. I think it's a matter of perspective and a matter of attitude that you want her to have towards men, that she is expecting a certain behavior from him or her. Another area is really the dating area. And I'm talking to both my daughters-in-law and asked what they did, you know, and they kind of got involved in so many good things that they didn't have time for the bad stuff, you know. And they didn't have time to date. But whether it's music or sports or school and other things, you know, it just was their personality that they didn't date in high school. And I would say that's true. At least one of my daughters didn't date in high school. So, you know, it sort of helps dealing with that. But when there's boys out there, you've got to figure out how to deal with them and what to how to talk to them. And let me just see. This is an unknown author. Daughters are like flowers. They fill the world with beauty, and sometimes they attract pests. So the pests, I think of these boys. So if they come to your house and they're picking up your daughter. Oh, by the way, there's a Super Bowl commercial on. I saw a preview of it yesterday. I'm not going to spoil it for you. But it's the Hyundai commercial. And it has to do with a dad and a son, her dad and a daughter, and a man coming to take her out on a date and what he does to protect his daughter. So watch for that commercial. But I see these lists, 10 rules for men that want to date my daughter, 10 rules for boys that want to, or 12 rules or 15 rules, whatever. And I wrote down three of them, but I don't know if they're really the best. But three of them, you hurt her, I hurt you. Second one, she's my princess, not your conquest. Third one is, I don't mind going back to jail. One guy put up a sign, guns don't kill people, dads with pretty daughters do. But other than that, seriously, I would say I wouldn't do any of those things. I would talk to the guy, get to know him, and I have some stories I could share about that. Is it really just 1 minute, or we end at 10:15? Oh, okay. So I would just want to make a couple comments to conclude, and that's it, to make sure you try to be as transparent as you can with your daughter. Be real. Apologize when you need to apologize. Confess your mistakes. Acknowledge your faults. And let her teach you. You can learn so much from your daughter, from the tea party to the wedding, whatever. You know, there's so much you can learn from your daughter. She'll tell you. Just ask her. Ask her lots of questions. Being a dad is one of the greatest joys of life. And you are the most important male in your daughter's life. The way you love your daughter will mold her and shape her life. And with Christ in you and the power that Jesus gives you, you'll be able to do those things. And you will never regret being an evolved, available, and loving dad. You'll never regret it. Have a great day, guys.